Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Auf Grab genommen, bedauert.
Frequency.
Thank you all for tuning in, and welcome back to another episode of Mystery Frequency. If you enjoy mystery, sci-fi, detectives, pulp heroes, and more, please check out the archives for hundreds of episodes. Please feel free to reach out through my email, mysteryfrequencypodcast@gmail.com, my social media, Mystery Freak, F-R-E-Q, on Twitter, Mystery Frequency on Instagram. And as always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please follow, review, and rate. All that really helps out the podcast. And speaking of which, please enjoy the show.
The Mutual Broadcasting System presents The Mysterious Traveler. Written, produced, and directed by Robert A. Arthur and David Colvin. And starring two of radio's foremost personalities, Bryna Rayburn and Lyle Sudro, in Stranger in the House.
This is the Mysterious Traveler inviting you to join me on another journey into the realm of the strange and the terrifying. I hope you will enjoy the trip, that it will thrill you a little and chill you a little. So settle back, get a good grip on your nerves, and be comfortable, if you can, as we follow the nerve-wracking adventures of a young couple in search of a home. It's the story I call Stranger in the House. The scene, the small village of Woodford in Vermont. It's 9 o'clock in the evening, and the main street of the village is deserted. A car comes speeding through the village, and with a squeal of its brakes, comes to a stop before the home of Dr. Samuel Stewart, A young woman, obviously distraught, gets out from behind the wheel of the car and hurries up the walk to the doctor's home. Yes, yes. Won't you come in?
Thank you. Doctor, you've got to help me. I can't stand it anymore.
Well, of course I'll help you. Here, let me have your coat. All right. Now, what appears to be wrong?
I don't know how to tell you about it. You'll think I'm insane, but I'm not.
I'm sure you're not. Now, why not start from the beginning and tell me what's troubling you?
Well, I suppose it all began the day my husband and I left this village to look at a house in the country that was for sale. Yes, I can recall how happy we were as we drove through the countryside. Oh, Roger. Darling, I do hope this will be the house we're searching for. Oh, look, we're coming to the old colonial graveyard the agent told us about. He said the house was a quarter of a mile beyond.
Yeah, that's right. At the end of this curve, there should be a small bridge over a stream.
Small bridge over a stream?
Mm-hmm. Look, there it is. Now, the house should be just a little beyond.
Roger, I don't recall the agent having mentioned the bridge.
Why, he must have, darling. How else would I have known it was there? Now, look, there's the house.
Oh, Roger, isn't it beautiful? Oh, and what a view it commands.
All right, now look, Jane, you mustn't get too excited about the place. It's probably all fallen to ruins inside.
Oh, nonsense, darling. You can see it's one of those early colonial houses built to endure for centuries. Oh, it's just what we've been dreaming.
Yes. This place certainly looks wild and desolate, doesn't it?
Well, naturally. The agent said it's been empty for years. But come on.
Well, what do I do with that key now?
Roger, look at this old engraved plate set in the wall.
Hmm?
You can barely make it out. Whitford Manor. Oh, that's a lovely name.
Yeah, here we are. Here's the key.
Whitford Manor. Oh, I know I'm going to love this place.
There you are. After you, Mrs. Barton.
And climbing in here.
Yes, yes, but look at that staircase, that beautiful staircase and those ceiling beams. Janie, honey, you were right. This place was built to endure. This house is in wonderful condition.
Yes, so it seems.
And it's just the size house we need, with four rooms upstairs.
Four rooms upstairs?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you know, Roger, that the agent never mentioned how many rooms the house had?
He didn't. Well, there's only one way to find out, then. Let's go upstairs and look. Come on, Janie. These stairs are as sound as the day they were built. This house would require very little in the way of repairs.
Yes, but it hasn't any electricity, Roger.
Oh, so what? We could use lamps so a line could be run to the house. There. Hey, see what I tell you? There are four rooms upstairs.
Yes, so there are. It's as though you'd been in this house before.
Well, as a matter of fact, I almost have a feeling I have been. Maybe that's the reason I like it. Darling, what's the matter? You've been ever so quiet since we entered the house. Don't you care for it?
Oh, it's lovely, Roger. Only...
Only what?
I don't know. It seems unfriendly.
Unfriendly? Who ever heard of a house being unfriendly? And you were crazy about the place when we drove up to it.
Yes, I know, but that was... before we entered
it. Well, honey, it's even nicer inside than it is outside.
Yes, I suppose
so. And think of what a bargain it is at $5,000, Jay. Why, we've looked at houses that cost twice as much and weren't as nice.
It is a bargain.
But you still don't like it, do you? All right. Then we'll keep looking till we find a house we both like.
Oh, nonsense, darling. Well, we'll never find anything nicer. Now, that room with the southern exposure will be our bedroom, and that room...
Oh, Jane, you're wonderful. And we will be happy here, honey. I know we will.
In the weeks that followed, I was too busy with the repairs and furnishings of the house to give any thought to my misgivings. but they all returned in overwhelming force that first evening in our new home. I left Roger sitting in the study and made my way up the dark, winding staircase to our bedroom. After tossing for what seemed hours, I fell into a fitful sleep. I suddenly awakened to hear the clock in the hall striking the hour. It was 4 o'clock, and Roger's bed was empty. Quickly slipping on my robe, I left my room and started down the stairs to the study. As I reached the foot of the stairs, I stopped.
Well, who are you?
To my astonishment, I heard Roger's voice in the study. I slowly approached until
well,
I was
make
at the door.
Clearer. It's so difficult. The mist obscures your face. Who are you? Well, why don't you say something?
Roger! What? Roger, unlock this door. It's Jane.
The mist is coming between us. I can hardly see you. Oh, no, don't go. Come back. Please, come back.
Darling, please unlock this door. Please. Roger! Oh, Roger.
What is it, Jane?
I was so frightened. Who are you talking to?
Talking to?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I must have been dreaming.
Yes, you must have been there. There isn't anyone. Roger, yeah? You smell perfume in here.
Perfume? Well, yes. Isn't it the perfume I gave you for your birthday?
No, it isn't my perfume. It smells like narcissus.
Yes.
Darling, what were you dreaming about?
Well, it was night, and all around me was a mist. A mist so heavy I couldn't see more than a few feet. There was a woman.
A woman?
Yes, yes. I could barely make out her face in this swirling mists, but it was a beautiful face. The most beautiful I've ever seen.
How strange. Of course it was a dream.
Yes, of course.
We both agreed it was a dream. But in our unspoken thoughts, it was more than a dream. The next day, I entered the study several times to find Roger sitting at his desk, staring into space. The scent of narcissus was gone. That night, Roger tossed and turned in his bed, unable to fall asleep. Just before dawn, I awoke to find his bed empty. A cold terror swept over me as I left my room and started down the stairs to the study. And then I heard that which I most dreaded to hear. Roger's voice.
Who are you? This mist. If only you'd come closer. Bridge the distance between us. I've seen you before, haven't I? And yet, where? Yes, I can see much better now. You are beautiful. Who are you?
Roger! Roger, please open the door!
Why are you leaving? No, please don't. Come back, please, come back.
Darling, let me in. Please open the door. Oh, Roger, are you all right?
Yes, of course I'm all right.
The scent of narcissus. Study is filled with it.
Why did you wake me?
You saw her again, didn't you? The narcissus. It's her scent.
If you only hadn't awakened.
Roger, what are you saying?
If only she'd spoken to me.
What are you saying? It is a dream, isn't it? It must be.
I don't know. I don't know. When twilight comes, I feel a presence in the house, in this room.
It's your imagination. It must be.
Yes, but the scent of narcissus, where does that come from?
I don't know. I don't know, but it's evil. The house is evil. We must leave it.
Leave it? No.
No, no, we can't leave it. I've got to see her again. I've got to find out who she is.
Roger, we must leave. I don't understand what's happening to us, but it's evil. I can feel it.
No, I won't leave. I can't. What do you want? I thought I told you I wasn't to be disturbed.
I must talk to you, make you realize that you...
Tonight, Jane, she was closer to me than ever before, so close I could almost touch her. I spoke, and she started to reply, and then you knocked.
Roger, what's happening to you? She's from another world, a phantom, an evil one.
No, no, she isn't evil. She couldn't be. She's too beautiful.
Darling, look at me. You can't let her come between us. I'm your wife. I love you.
I don't want your love.
Roger, listen to me. You must come away from this house. We must leave at once.
No.
I insist.
Will you get out of here? And don't come back. I'll never leave her.
As I fled from the house, Doctor, I could still hear him shouting. I'll never leave her. Oh, you must help me, Doctor. You must.
I'll do what I can, Mrs. Barton.
You don't think I'm losing my sanity, do you?
No. That which you fear may well be. Look, there's a history to Wickford Manor, though few people are familiar with it.
A history?
Yes. The house was built in 1811 by Martin Wickford for his bride, Marie Duval. It was considered one of the finest houses in New England. A year later, Marie's sister, Isabel, came to live with the Wickfords. From some of the old records, letters, I gather she was a remarkably beautiful woman. So beautiful that Martin Wickford fell in love with her. And she with him.
Then what happened?
One day, while Martin was hunting in the mountains, he was killed in a fall. When his companions brought his body back to Wickford Manor, they found Marie, his wife, dead. She'd been poisoned.
Poisoned?
Yes. At the sight of Martin's body, Isabel went to pieces and confessed to the poisoning of her sister. But before she could be arrested, she did away with herself. In the study.
In the study?
Yes. There's a quotation in the Bible to the effect that a murderer shall find no peace in the hereafter. Isabel Duval was a murderess.
Then you do believe her spirit is in the house?
In the years that followed the tragedy, Wickford Manor had a succession of tenants, all of whom left after a brief residence.
You mean they saw her too?
Well, the tenants made no claims of seeing anyone, but their fear of an unknown element in the house led to their leaving.
Yes, but if the other tenants never saw her, why should Roger see her?
Well, Mrs. Barton, have you ever visited some place for the first time, had the feeling you'd seen the place before?
Oh, why, yes, but... That was imagination.
Can one be sure it is imagination? Perhaps you had seen that place in the long ago as another person.
As another person?
Yes.
You mean Roger, as another person, had once known Wickford Manor?
How else do you account for his remembrances of things he'd never seen in this life?
I don't know. Doctor, you're trying to tell me something. What is it?
All I know is we must return to the manor at once. The spirit that's abroad in that house is one to be feared more than death itself.
Oh, no. But please. Please, come closer. There's nothing to be afraid of. She's gone. Oh, please, there are only the two of us now. You're beautiful. You're so beautiful. We have met before, haven't we?
Yes. We have met before.
You spoke.
I've waited so long for you, Martin.
Why do you call me Martin? My name is Roger.
It was Martin. Then.
Then? What do you mean?
Look at me, Martin. Oh. Look into my eyes. Don't you remember?
Yes. Yes, but where? When?
Think, Martin. Think. Time is the barrier between us, but we shall overcome it. Think back into the dim past when you lived in this house and we loved each other.
Wait. Isabel. Isabel.
Yes, Martin. Isabel. Do you remember now?
Yes, yes, yes. I remember everything up to the day I went hunting in the mountains. And I fell. What happened to me, Isabel? What happened to us? To our love?
Don't think of that accursed day, darling. What? Think of the future. Our happiness together.
Yes, yes, Isabel, our happiness together.
Just the two of us. In this house, I have waited so long for you to come back, Martin. But at last, we are together.
Yes, yes, darling, forever.
Martin, please open the door.
She's come back. She's come back, Isabel. Don't go. Darling, don't leave me.
I must, Martin.
No, 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 come back. Come back, please, come back.
Martin, unlock this door.
What do you want? Who's he?
Oh, this is Dr. Stewart, Roger. Doctor, this is my husband.
What in the devil did you bring him here for?
Roger, please. I thought perhaps he could help.
What do you mean, help us? I don't need anyone's help.
Your wife has told me everything.
My wife has quite an imagination, Doctor.
Roger.
Lately, she's taking to imagining all sorts of things. I'm beginning to believe she's become unbalanced.
I'm not. How can you say such a thing?
I wish you'd trust me, Mr. Barton. Allow me to try to help you. I must warn you, the spirit of the woman you see in this study is an evil one. One that will lead you to disaster.
I told you I don't need help from you or anyone. Now get out, both of you.
Roger.
Come along, Mrs. Button.
All I ask is to be left alone.
Oh, Roger. Roger.
Please, please, don't cry, Mrs. Button.
You saw him. It's as though he were possessed.
Yes, I know.
We must do something. We must.
We shall, but not tonight. I must have time to think about it. But you'd better return to the village with me.
No. No, I don't want to leave him in the house alone. Something might happen to him.
Are you sure you want to stay?
Yes.
Very well. I'll return late tomorrow afternoon. When I do, we will take action.
Look at her, Martin. Lying there in her bed, asleep. So defenseless. If you want me, you must get rid of her. Hurry, Martin, it is almost dawn and I must leave. There's no time to waste.
Yes, 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 Isabel, yes. We can't let her come between us. I'll do as you say.
Oh, who's there?
Roger.
Oh, for a moment I was frightened. What time is it?
It's just dawn. I have to do it, Jane. I have to.
No, Roger, do not.
I can't let you come between Isabel and myself. Not now. Not after we've found each other again.
Tighter, Martin, tighter. Until she stops struggling and is still forever.
Isabel. Isabel, don't leave me. Isabel, where are you? Isabel.
Roger.
Come back, Isabel. Come back.
Roger, can't you see what she's doing to you? Tonight she'll be back again and she won't let you fail.
Isabel, darling, don't leave me now. Please don't leave me, Isabel.
Oh, Roger. Roger.
And then he stopped choking you, ran out of your room and down to the study?
Yes.
Where is he now?
He's still in the study. He's been there all day.
I should have known better than to have let you remain in this house last night. She knows that if he murders you, he'll join her cursed spirit forever.
Oh, look, it's growing dark out. Soon she'll appear before him again. Doctor, we must do something. Last night you said you'd help me.
And I will. This woman, Isabel, has been denied the peace of the grave because her sister's blood is on her hands. She belongs neither to the living or the dead, only to this house. If we could get your husband to leave, it might break the spell she's cast over him.
Yes, but he absolutely refuses to leave.
Then we must force him to.
Force him to?
Yes. I can very quickly give him a hypodermic, render him unconscious.
Yes, then we could carry him away.
To make sure he never returns to this house, we must burn it to the ground before we leave.
Burn the
house?
Yes,
yes. Unless, of course, you don't want to.
Oh, yes. Yes, we will burn it. And the evil that's in it.
Then if you'll lead the way to the study.
All right, Doctor. Have you the hypodermic ready?
Yes. Now, when your husband opens the door, just gain his attention for a moment. Long enough for me to give him the hypodermic.
Very well. Shall I knock now?
Yes, I'm ready.
Roger, open the door. I want to talk to you.
What do you want? Why has he come back to this house?
Oh, he's come to take me away, Roger.
Take you away? Well, good. I'm glad to see... What did you stick me with? What's that in your hand, Doctor?
Just a hypodermic, Mr. Barton.
A hypodermic? Well, why? Well, what are you up to? You're trying to take me away from this house. From her. Well, I won't go. I won't go. Do you hear? You'll never...
Doctor, quick, he's falling.
I've got him, Mrs. Barton.
Yes.
Now, I suggest you take that lamp and smash it on the floor.
Yes, let's burn the place to the ground.
That's it. Now, you better help me carry your husband out of the house, Mrs. Barton. In a little while, this house will be a mass of flame. He's regaining consciousness now, Mrs. Barton.
Will he remember what happened?
I don't know.
Hello, Jamie.
Darling.
I had a terrible dream. It was all so confused. And... Janie, darling, you're crying.
It's nothing, darling. You've been very ill, but now you're going to be all right.
Of course.
Well, who are you?
He's Dr. Stewart, Roger. He's been looking after you during your illness.
Oh? Where am I?
You're in my home, Mr. Barton.
Oh.
Yes, darling. Our own house burned down last night.
It burned down?
Yes.
Oh, that's too bad. Why, we only had one night in our new home.
One night?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, of course, Roger.
Well, Mrs. Barton, in spite of the loss of your home, I think you were very fortunate. There are things far worse than fire.
Yes, Doctor. And I can never thank you enough for breaking the bridge between the past and the present.
What are you two talking about?
Oh, nothing, darling. Nothing at all. Roger. Oh, darling, you've been humming that all day.
Well, I'm just glad to be out of a sick bed and on my way to California. Look, we just crossed the state line into Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've come almost 600 miles since dawn.
Yeah, it's getting dark.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think we ought to stop now for the night?
Anything you say, darling.
Yeah, let's stop at the next motel.
Hmm? All right. Well, I guess I better turn my headlights on. There.
Oh, darling, I've never been so happy. Roger.
What?
Do you smell something?
Yes, it's good country air.
No, I don't mean that.
Jenny, what's wrong with you?
Don't you smell it?
Smell what? Oh, you mean that perfume?
Yes.
It seems familiar. Yes. What is it?
Narcissus.
Narcissus.
Wasn't that the... said in the study? That first evening?
Yes. She's in the car, isn't she, Roger? She's followed us. Roger, answer me.
What?
Roger. Roger, you mustn't listen to her. She's trying to come between us. Darling, look at me. Look at me. Why, you're slowing down. No. No. No!
This is the Mysterious Traveler, then. Did you enjoy our trip? Poor Janie. There are some ghosts you just can't escape from. But strangely enough, as Roger Barton was being hanged some 6 months later for his wife's murder, everyone noticed a strange scent of perfume about the gallows. Some people said afterward it was the scent of narcissus. I trust that if you ever see a house for the first time and it looks familiar, you'll have the good sense to turn and flee. Perhaps a ghost out of your past awaits in that house. A ghost that's been waiting for you a long time, and he's... Oh, you have to get off here. I'm sorry. But I'm sure we'll meet again. I take this same train every week at this same time.
Heard the Mysterious Traveler. Now you can follow other tense and exciting adventures of the Mysterious Traveler in the current issue of the Mysterious Traveler magazine, now available. In our cast were Bryna Rayburn and Lyle Sudo. Maurice Tarplin starred in the title role. Music under the direction of Emerson Buckley, composed by Richard DuPage. This program came to you from New York.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
Mutual Broadcasting System presents The Mysterious Traveler. Written, produced, and directed by Robert A. Arthur and David Kogan, and starring tonight two of radio's foremost personalities, Santos Ortega and Ann Shepherd, in Out of the Past.
This is The Mysterious Traveler, inviting you to join me on another journey into the realm of the strange and the terrifying. I hope you will enjoy the trip, that it will thrill you a little and chill you a little. So settle back, get a good grip on your nerves, and be comfortable, if you can, as you hear Out of the Past. Your name is Joan Morgan, and as you stand looking over Central Park from your penthouse terrace on this beautiful spring day, you can't help but feel you're the luckiest woman living. You're young, attractive, fairly wealthy, and happily married to a Broadway actor. Yes, Joan, there's little more you could ask for. The doorbell rings. You run to the door to greet your husband, Keith, who is home from his matinee performance.
Hello, beautiful. How's my one and only?
Hello, darling. Oh, Keith, no wonder every actress wants to have you for her leading man.
Nonsense. I'll have you know the only person I kiss like that is my wife.
Better say that. How was the matinee today?
Fine. I got 7 curtain calls. Oh, here's the afternoon mail. I picked it up at the desk.
Anything for me?
I haven't looked it over, dear.
Oh, yes, here's one for me. 3 others for you, dear.
Let's see. This one's a bill from the hotel management. Darling, we're living beyond our means.
Oh, Keith, you're not going to start that again, are you? Well, we have over $500,000.
I've told you 12 times I won't touch that money. It's yours,
but
not mine.
Darling, it isn't a question of it being yours or mine. It's ours.
Joan, I made it clear to you when we got married that we'd have to live on the money I earn.
Then what'll I do with my money if you won't allow me to spend it?
Well, someday we'll have 6 children. You can save it for that.
All right, darling. I wonder who my letter can be from.
You rip open the envelope, Joan, as Keith looks at the rest of his mail. For a moment you feel as if your heart has stopped. Then it begins to beat wildly. Over and over you read the 2 sentences. A friend from Europe expects you tomorrow afternoon at 2:00 at the Hotel Edgewood. Please bring $25,000 in cash, or else I shall be forced to take action. John Benedict.
Joan, what is it? What's wrong, darling?
What did you say?
You look so upset. Is it that letter you're reading?
Letter? No. No.
Well, then, if it isn't the letter, what is it?
It's nothing, darling, nothing at all. It's just... I have a headache.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can I get you something?
No, Keith. No. I'll be all right. All I need is a little rest.
Come in, won't you, Joan? Sorry to keep you waiting.
Martin, you must help me.
Why, of course, Joan. You know I'd do anything for you. Sit down and tell me about it.
Martin, I'm in trouble. I'm in great trouble.
But Joan, what is it? What's wrong?
I'm being blackmailed.
Blackmailed?
Yes.
By whom?
A man named John Benedict. I don't know who he is. But I received a letter from him yesterday afternoon.
There's only one thing to do, and that's to go to the police. I'll call the district
attorney. No. I can't go to the police.
Why not?
This man, Benedict, knows something I can't afford to have exposed.
What does he know, Joan?
Please, don't ask me. I know that you were my father's best friend, but I can't tell you. Believe me, if it ever gets out, it would ruin my marriage, my life. I couldn't stand to lose Keith. I couldn't. I'd rather die.
All right, Joan. I think you're making a mistake, but I'll help you. How much money does this man Benedict want?
A half hour later, you enter a dingy hotel and go to room 14. As Martin opens the door, he reveals a squalid, dimly lit room. For the first time, Joan, you see John Benedict. He's a tall, heavy man with coarse features and a thick black beard. In the half light, he appears to be about 50. His clothes are of fine English cut, but time and wear have taken their toll. He stares at you for a moment, Joan, then speaks.
How do you do, Mrs. Morgan? Won't you please come in?
Thank you. This is Mr. Walker, friend.
Yes, of course. I trust you will forgive me these dismal surroundings, but alas, I am quite penniless.
So you thought it would be an excellent idea to blackmail this lady for funds?
I am afraid you misunderstand me, Mr. Walker. I am not forcing this beautiful lady to give me £5,000. Rather, I am, shall we say, requesting a loan.
Yes, but if she doesn't give you this loan, you'll ruin her marriage or her life.
It would distress me to ruin anyone's life. But then it also distresses me to live in a pigsty like this.
A much more suitable place would be the state penitentiary.
Martin, please don't talk like that.
Evidently, Mrs. Morgan, your friend is more interested in having me placed in prison than in saving you from disaster. I'm afraid you have not revealed our little secret to Mr. Walker.
No. No, I haven't.
Well, then, perhaps if we were to tell him, he would not be quite so eager to imprison me. Perhaps if he knew that at one time you had...
No. Don't say any more. I'll pay you.
Allow me to commend you on your good judgment.
Martin, give him the money. Give it to him.
Very well. Here's your filthy blood money.
Thank you. I think you have been very wise, Mrs. Morgan. Very wise indeed. Good day.
In the weeks that follow, Joan, you try to forget Mr. Benedict and the terrifying secret he shares with you. But you aren't successful, are you? Everywhere you go, you unconsciously find yourself fearfully looking for him. Life has become tense, frightening. Then one afternoon, while Keith is at rehearsal of a new play, you receive a phone call. A call that sends you in a panic to Martin Walker's office.
Martin, I've heard from him again.
Benedict?
Yes, he phoned an hour ago. He wants $50,000.
$50,000? Maybe now you'll have sense enough to let me turn this over to the police.
No, I can't do that.
You mean you're going to buy him off a second time?
Yes, I must.
But you can't. What's to prevent his extorting money from you a third or a fourth time? He'll squeeze you dry.
The money doesn't matter, do you hear? Nothing matters but keeping what Benedict knows from Keith. If Keith finds out, it'll mean the end of everything for me. Everything.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Morgan. Oh, I see you brought Mr. Walker. And I was counting on a pleasant afternoon. May I take your coat?
No.
Benedict, what do you mean by asking for $50,000? We paid you $25,000. That was supposed to keep your mouth shut.
Well, it has, up to now. But as you can see by this suite of rooms, Mr. Walker, it takes money to live lavishly. Therefore, I shall need more.
Well, you shan't have it. We paid you off once. We're not paying you off again. There's a limit to what anyone will pay.
Yes, quite true, Mr. Walker. But the limit has not been reached as yet.
You swine. If I had my way, I'd call the police and put you where you belong.
Mrs. Morgan, I'm afraid you are allowing your friend to go too far. I have but to pick up this telephone, and your world will come crashing down about.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't. Martin, give him the money.
But, Joan,
give it to him. I can't stand this anymore.
Very well. Here it is, Benedict. But I warn you, you'd better not try anything further. There is such a thing as pushing a person too
far. I shall try to remember that, Mr. Walker. Thank you for your advice and the money.
You're trembling with fear as you leave Benedict's luxurious suite, aren't you, Joan? And even when you reach your own apartment, the fear hasn't left you. Weeks pass, and life is a nightmare. Every time someone knocks at the door or the phone rings, your heart begins to beat wildly. worst of all, Keith senses something is wrong.
I'll answer it,
but I'm much closer to it there.
Hello?
This is Mr. Morgan's apartment.
Yes?
This is the stage manager at the theater. Will you please remind Mr. Morgan of the special matinee we're giving today?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'll tell him. It was a theater calling, Keith, to remind you of today's special performance.
I haven't forgotten. It's only 2:05. I still have a few minutes before I have to leave. Joan.
Yes?
What is it, darling? What's come over you?
Come over me?
Yes. These past weeks, you've been just a bundle of nerves. Every time the phone rings or the mail arrives, you begin to tremble. What's wrong?
Darling, you're just imagining all that.
Joan, stop acting as though I were a child. I can see something's wrong, and I want to know what it is.
Keith, please. There's nothing. Who could that be?
Never mind, I'll get it.
No,
you just sit where you are and rest.
Look, darling, you have to get to the... What's taking him so long? Why doesn't he come back? Keith? Who is it? Keith!
Joan, what is it? Why did you scream like that?
I didn't scream. Who was that at the door?
Well, it was just a special delivery boy. He brought this special delivery for you.
Special delivery?
Yes, here.
Thank you.
Aren't you going to open it? After all, it is a special delivery.
Yes. Of course.
I never saw anyone so afraid of a letter. Who's it from? Joan, what's wrong?
Nothing. Nothing.
Don't tell me that. You look as though you were going to collapse. Now, give me that letter.
No,
I said,
please.
Give it to me.
No, please.
Yeah, that's better. Perhaps this letter will tell me what's wrong. Why, it's only one sentence. I will phone you at 2. There isn't even a signature. Who wrote this note, Joan?
I don't know.
You must know, else why would you have grown so pale? I'll phone you at 2. It's almost 2 now. I'll wait for that call.
Keith, please. You must have faith in me.
All these weeks I've had faith, said nothing, hoping you'd tell me what was wrong. Now I must find out for myself. Well, right on time. Just 2:00.
Please, don't answer.
Take your phone. Take your hand off the phone,
please,
Joan.
Keith, no.
I said
I
take your
you
hand
answer.
Off the phone.
Don't.
Hello? 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 No answer. Never called, hung up when they heard my voice. I suppose you won't tell me who it is? All right, then. I have to leave for the matinee now. I won't be home for dinner, but when I return after tonight's performance, we'll have this out once and for all.
Please. I just can't tell you. If you'd only
wait.
Goodbye, Joan. Keith. I can't. Oh, darling. If only I could tell you. If only I could. But I know you wouldn't want me then. How could you? How could you if you... Hello?
Good afternoon, Mrs. Morgan.
You promised you'd leave me alone, that I'd never hear from you again. That was only a month ago.
Yes, I know. But then, I am always making promises I cannot keep.
You've ruined everything. My husband read the special delivery letter you sent. He answered the phone when you called a few minutes ago. How can I explain?
Oh, that should not be too difficult for a clever woman like yourself. And you are a clever woman, are you not?
What do you want? I'm tired of your playing cat and mouse with me.
I intend to call on you at 5:30 this afternoon.
I won't pay you another cent, do you hear? There's no end to your demands.
You may expect me at 5:30.
No.
And do not have Walker there.
No, I won't see you. I won't... Hello? 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 I won't see you!
Ah, good afternoon, Mrs. Morgan. As you can see, I am right on time. It's exactly 5:30. This is a lovely penthouse you have. It's good to see you without walking around.
How can you do this to me? I've never harmed you. Why do you insist on ruining my life? Why?
My dear lady, the last thing I desire to do is to ruin your life. Unfortunately, the world you and I live in being what it is, I am forced by circumstances to live by my wits.
If I give you the money now, how do I know you won't be back in another month?
Oh, that is very simple. Because after you pay me off this time, there would not be any point in my bothering you again.
What do you mean?
I mean, Mrs. Morgan, that this time I want $500,000.
$500,000?
Yes. If I am not mistaken, that is what the balance of your fortune amounts to. Do you not see? Once you have paid it over to me, there would be no point in my bothering you anymore. Simple. You did not.
You must be mad.
I? Oh, no, Mrs. Morgan, not I. Come now, you love your husband and he loves you. There are years and years of happiness before you. If he does not learn your little secret, you are wise. You will turn the money over to me.
I can't. If I were to withdraw $500,000, he'd find out about it.
Ah, but there is always the chance that he won't. If you do not do as I ask, I shall be forced to reveal the secret.
No, no.
Yes, Mrs. Morgan. Your husband will learn that while you were in England in 1939, you murdered your sweetheart.
I won't listen.
But your husband will. And he will learn that after you committed this murder, you spent the following 8 years in an English insane asylum.
No, you can't tell him. You can't.
Think of what a sensation the tabloids will make out of it. And think of what people will say.
No.
Your husband would have to divorce
him. No.
So, fainted, have you? That is not going to help you, Mrs. Morgan.
Martin, I just got your message at the theater. Where's Joan? What's wrong?
She's in her bedroom with Dr. Richards. It seems that she... Here's Dr. Richards now.
Doctor, what's wrong?
Keith, you must prepare yourself for a shock.
What's happened?
Half hour ago, one of your neighbors on the floor heard Joan weeping and screaming hysterically. The manager knew I was your doctor and sent for me.
But why was she weeping and screaming?
She's had a breakdown.
Breakdown?
Yes.
Well, I want to see her. I must.
Very well, Keith, but only for a moment. Mr. Walker, I'm afraid you'll have to wait here.
I understand, Doctor.
Keith, you must keep a grip on yourself.
All right. Joan. Darling. It's Keith.
Please, stay away from me. Stay away, both of you. No, don't come near me.
Doctor, she doesn't even recognize me.
Yes, Keith, I
know. I know who you are. You can't fool me. One of you is Mr. Benedict. Maybe both of you are Mr. Benedict. Yes. I know what you're here for, but I won't let you. I won't let you.
She's completely out of her mind.
I know you're both Mr. Benedict. You can't fool me.
Who is this Benedict she keeps talking about?
I don't know, Keith. She feels she's being persecuted by this Benedict fellow. He may be real, and again, he may be a figment of her imagination.
She's deathly afraid of us.
Yes, she sees everyone as this fellow Benedict. I tried to give her a sedative, but she grows violent when I approach.
Well, can't you do something for her?
I've already sent for an ambulance. She'd be much better off in a hospital where she can have constant medical care. Come along, Keith.
How is she, Doctor?
Well, it may be a long time before she recovers. I'm going down to the lobby to wait for the ambulance. I suggest you two stay here. Keep an eye on her. I've left the door to her room open.
All right, Doctor.
Shouldn't be more than a few minutes.
How do you feel, Keith?
Tired.
tired, if you want to know.
Well, it's only natural. These past 2 months have been quite strenuous for you. But with $500,000 and a wife who'll probably never be in any condition to ask you about it, you've done quite well.
Quite well? That's an understatement. Name one actor, living or dead, who could have given as great a performance of Mr. Benedict as I did.
You were superb as Benedict, I admit.
Superb? Why, I was magnificent. The costume, the makeup, my accent, simply perfect. I tell you, it was the greatest performance ever given. What a pity you weren't here at 5:30 this afternoon.
I'm sure I missed the performance of the age.
I outdid myself. You should have heard me.
Yes, Mrs. Morgan. Your husband will learn that while you were in England in 1939, you murdered your... sweetheart. That after you committed this murder, you spent the following 8 years in an English insane asylum.
Ah, it's really a pity I've played my greatest role to an audience of one.
Well, yes, Keith, but you were probably the highest paid actor in the world. I'm sure that $500,000 for 2 months' work, less my share, of course, is something of a record.
Yes, it probably is.
I heard you, Mr. Benedict.
But,
you can't fool me.
John!
I know one of you is Mr. Benedict. Or are you both Mr. Benedict? Yes, you both must be Mr. Benedict. That's clever. That disguise you use, that's clever. But you can't fool me!
She must have overheard you. That brought her out of the room.
Yes, no matter how many disguises you use, I know you. No, 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 don't you come near me. Don't come near me.
Keith, she's got
don't
a gun.
Come
Joan,
near me.
Put that gun down.
I'm not going to let you tell. I'm not going to let
no, don't.
You tell.
No, don't. Don't, Joan. Shut. You shut.
Oh, Joan, no. I'm not Mr. Benedict. He's... Mr.
You'll never tell Keith now. Never, never, never.
This is the mysterious traveler again. Did you enjoy our trip? Too bad about poor Keith and Martin. Such interesting scoundrels. That fellow Keith was certainly a remarkable actor, wasn't he? But, like so many actors, he overplayed his role. With fatal results. What happened to Joan Morgan? Well, the poor woman was committed to an institution, where after several years of treatment, she recovered completely. However, she still has a deathly fear of actors. Oh, you'll have to get off here, I'm sorry. But I'm sure we'll meet again. I take this same train every week at this same time.
You've just heard The Mysterious Traveler, a series of dramas of the strange and terrifying. The role of The Mysterious Traveler is played by Maurice Tarplin. Others in the cast were Santos Ortega, Ann Shepherd, and Roger DeCoven. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that American Family Insurance agents can help build a customized renter's policy so you can protect stuff like this, or this, or even this. Case in point. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.